Look, the advantage of speaking after both these reporters is it's that they have covered most of the points that I wanted to say. But joking aside, I think what it did highlight is that there's a lot of overlap between some of the things, you know, the interconnectedness of the issues, you know, that's what it highlighted. The way we structured our exercise, we, for very pragmatic reasons, because of the time-bound aspect of the exercise, what we did was we went back to the Talab camp settlement that I outlined in the morning, and we used that as a platform for thinking about community engagement-driven process to improve conditions in urban slums. So that was our focus. And we also used the resilience framework, which has been talked about quite a bit, the six main aspects: knowledge and health, being organized, being connected, having good infrastructure and shelter, economic opportunities and natural assets, these six. So we kind of divided up our team into three main groups, each dealing with two of these aspects. And there was quite a few very useful insights that came out of it. Firstly, we gave them a template, you know, again, to guide and structure the argument, saying that this is not the ultimate template. Deconstruct it if you want to. But what they actually did was, instead of deconstructing, they added very useful insights. For example, in terms of knowledge and health, there were big questions on what is its applicability in terms of building resilience. And our main conclusion was that knowledge is linked to health simply because people don't have awareness or even the motivation to drink pure water, for example. You know, so issues like that. But the insight that they brought in the whole issue of urban safety for women, particularly in a society which is male dominated, patriarchal, etc. But yet, for example, there are communal toilets, but the women are not safe to go there and use it, for example. And the suggestions that they had, they actually had to provide answers and proposals. And what they suggest is that the whole notion of having a leadership structure within the community that would ensure safety. That's a very novel way of approaching it, and this is useful, I think, you know. Also, the whole notion of building awareness through that leadership network and give them, again, the driving seat. Remember, this session was about community engagement, so whatever has to be done has to be driven by the community. So once they have that leadership network in place, they would drive the process in terms of ensuring safety for women. Then going to the other aspects, being connected and having adequate infrastructure and shelter, they made a very interesting connection, our group, in terms of livelihoods in the building sector, and saying that this particular marginalized community, for them to get skills training in the building sector would be a way not only to build livelihood but to assimilate with the wider society. And so they were, you know, kind of trying to address the problems with various prongs in dealing with the different facets of the problems. And eventually providing them, you know, skills training in terms of building safer houses so that they can address, you know, the hazard issue as well. Economic opportunities, yes, some of the obvious answers: provide microcredit, provide skills development and literacy, vocational trades, etc. But when it came to natural assets, it was actually a quandary, because in urban slums, dense, very dense, packed urban slums, what kind of natural assets, you know, do you have? And when we actually did the project, that was a problem we had. And our team came up with very innovative answers. First of all, they said water is a natural asset. It rains 6 months of the year pretty heavily. Why don't they do rainwater harvesting? That's good, your starting point. Why don't they do urban agriculture? Some of them do, but to kind of upscale it and replicate it in a wider way within the community could be ideas. So there were many ideas which came across. And, you know, in some way, what we also intend to do with the outputs of this exercise is to actually feed it back into the project which is ongoing. So it has an utility aspect as well. The other thing also which kept on coming up, and again, going back to what I said, linking with the other two groups, it's the complexity of the problems. Regulatory barriers, building resilient shelter, having a community in the driving seat, they're all interrelated. And obviously a very complex process. And this is what came out. You know, we spent almost half of the session discussing the complexities and how to address them. So it's not an easy ball game, and which just leads automatically into the whole issue of time. How much time do you need to address complex issues adequately? You know, these cannot be time-bound donor projects. These have to be long-term engagement with the community, together with the community. So that's, I think, where I should leave it. And you guys, you know, you can add, of course, later when we discuss.